والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
What we tried to discuss last night was to briefly go over the efforts of the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullah alayha.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali.
After the demise of the Holy Prophet, and to try to see what she was trying to do. What we ended off with was, it appears, and there's a lot of evidence for this, that whether it was the matter of Fadak and her going to the masjid back and forth to take Fadak back and to discuss the matter of Fadak, or whether it was going to the homes of the Ansar to get them to come and support Amir al-Mu'mineen, or when she was standing in the doorway of the house to prevent people from taking Amir al-Mu'mineen to the masjid, what she was trying to do was to connect the nation or keep the nation in line with the wilaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah
alayhi.
It was that important. There was a bond of wilaya between the nation, between the people and the Holy Prophet during his lifetime. That was supposed to, after the demise of the Holy Prophet, be a connection and a bond of wilaya between the nation and the successor of the Holy Prophet, Amir al-Mu'mineen. There were people that wanted to break that bond and to align the allegiance of the people with someone else. The Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, did whatever she could to make sure at least she does her taklif, her obligation, as opposed to others who didn't do what they should have. We referred to the 40 people that agreed to come and support Amir al-Mu'mineen, but they didn't. She did whatever she could to make sure she tries at least to keep that bond connected and keep the allegiances of the people, the nation, the ummah, aligned with the successor of the Holy Prophet. The matter of wilayah is that important. We said that if that's so important, and that is something that is not limited to that time, every people, every collection of people have their allegiances aligned in a particular direction, towards a particular leadership. Every people, we here, every single one of us, is part of a bond of wilaya that is attached and connected to a certain leadership. People have no choice but to be like that. I'm going to give you some references, the Holy Quran, as I did in the previous night on that as well. Since that's the case, every people have, it's not a question of whether we have wilayah or not. The question is, who is our wilayah aligned with? That's the question. And we can't say that we have aligned our wilaya with the right person or the right really leadership because we say Ashhadu anna aliyyan waliyullah. But it's not enough. It's not a verbal statement. It's not something you can say and say, okay, I'm done. I have my allegiances aligned with Amirul Mu'mineen. No. That's not going to be. How do we know, what are some of the signs that we can try to recognize where our allegiances lie? How can we identify that? How can we look at ourselves, look at what we're doing on a daily basis, on a regular basis, and see where our allegiances are? What can we do? I want to look at some of the verses of the Holy Quran that discuss this matter in a very particular way, of course. I need to explain something before I start reading those verses. Remember, yesterday we said there's a verse in the Holy Quran that says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the Day of Judgment, the Day of Judgment is such that يَوْمَ نَدْعُوا كُلَّ أُنَاسٍ بِإِمَامِهِمْ. The Day of Judgment is the day that every people will be called with their Imam. You are part of the following of this person. You're part of the following of the other person. This is your leadership. You are his following. Every people will be raised with their leadership. It's either a good leadership that will lead them to paradise, or it's going to be the wrong leadership and they will be led into hellfire. Remember, we mentioned that. The important thing to understand with regards to that is that leadership on the Day of Judgment is the reflection of the leadership in the wilayah in this world. It's not like there was no bond of wilayah between those people and that leadership in this world, and then suddenly out of the blue and the hereafter they say your imam is this person, and you're like, I don't even have a clue who this guy is. It's not going to be like that. The relationship between our actions in this world and the hereafter is that whatever we do, when they say the punishment of it is this, that means that is the reflection of the action that is performed in this world. Whether it's an individual act or it is a social act. It's being part of a group and moving in a particular direction, or it is simply performing prayer or, God forbid, a sin. And it is said this act is going to result in a person burning in the hereafter. That burning is the reflection of the action in this world. It's not cut off. It's not disconnected. It's not like the rewards and the punishments in this world. Okay, a father, a mother, when they want to train their children to do good deeds and avoid bad, they say, this is bad, don't do it. If you do this, I'm going to take this away from you. You're no video games today. Okay, no more TV. If you do this good thing, you're going to be allowed to do this, that, the other. You can play for an hour on your iPad or whatever. There's no connection between the two. There is nothing that connects getting good grades in school and going on a trip or receiving something as a gift from the parents. These are two completely separate things. The parent, it's an agreement. The parent says, the father, the mother says, look, if you do this, I'm going to do. When God says, if you do this, I'm going to do that, it's not the same way. That action, that deed, good or bad, has that effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that's how it created the system. So when God tells us that in the hereafter, this is how you're going to end up, that means this is how it was in this world, and you are going to see the reality of that action in the hereafter. Okay? Now with that intro, let's look at some of these verses. Recite salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
In Surah An-Nisa, verse 97, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ ظَالِمِي أَنفُسِهِمْ. There are those that the angels take their souls. It's the moment of death. The angels are God's messengers, and they are supposed to take the soul of the individual. But these people, the angels take their souls, they are ظالمي أنفسهم. They oppress themselves. They oppress themselves. They've committed sins, they've done wrong. قالوا فيما كنتم. The angels ask them, what position were you in? Where were you? What was your status in the world? We're taking your life, we're taking your soul, your life, that's what that means. So how was it? What state were you in? Now, this is a very scary question. They are ظالمي أنفسهم. They are sinful. They've committed sins. They've done wrong. Alright? The angel asks that question. And so the person who is being asked that question is fearing the angel and is feeling very threatened here. How am I going to respond? They're going to try to look for an excuse to present with regards to why they've done what they've done. What do they say? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Okay. It's an excuse for why they've committed sin. Why'd you commit sin? Why did you do wrong? كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. We were مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ. We were forced. We were in a country that we had to do that to live. The authorities, okay, make it such that you want to live in this country, you got to do X, Y, and Z. Sins. It's wrong. But we go ahead and do it. It's wrong, we go ahead and do it. Why do we go ahead and do it? Because we're living in this country. That's the excuse. Let's look at this socially. It's a group of people. We're talking about where one's allegiances lie. Where are we aligned towards? When you look at things on a social scale, there is always authority, right? This is istidaf, being mustadafin, being oppressed. There is a system in place. There are rulers, there are governors, they are enforcing a particular culture, a particular lifestyle. The mala' within every nation, that's how it works. So you have a people there that don't like that system. They recognize what they are doing is wrong, and they don't like it. It's not like, no, we wanted to do this. You get that from the way they're responding there. They don't say, oh, we wanted to be like that. Say, why did you do this? Because we like to do that. They're not responding that way. Alright? Their response is, sorry, but we were mustadafin. So, there are people living in a society, the government, the social structure, the establishment, with all of what it comes with a full package, including a culture, that makes people feel intimidated to do the right thing, and feel more comfortable doing the wrong thing, if you're under a tawhut. You have individuals living there, they don't like to be part of that system, but they end up following that. They end up making those mistakes. They say, قالوا كنا مستضعفين في الأرض. We were مستضعفين. We followed that leadership. How? In action. They didn't like it. They weren't like, this guy is my leader. We're trying to figure out, based on this verse, what is the criterion that causes us to be considered the party of someone or the other? Are we following this leadership or the other leadership? قَالُوا كُنَّا مُسْتَضَعَفِينَ فِي الْأَرْضِ The angels respond, قَالُوا أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعَةً فَتُهَاجِرُوا فِيهَا Did you have the opportunity to leave? You could have left. In their minds, they knew this is wrong. They didn't like it, but they felt, we have to do this. What's the criterion? Action. Doing something that is wrong because of a particular social structure, an establishment, a culture, is pushing you to do something which is wrong. So it's not a matter of liking to be with someone or the other person necessarily. If one likes to be there, but in action they're following this leadership, that's where they are. I didn't like to do that. I wanted to be there. Yeah, you could have left. You didn't. You did the wrong that the establishment forced you to do. قالوا ألم تكن أرض الله واسعة Could have left, didn't. Then it says, إلا المستضعفين من الرجال والنساء Except for the مستضعفين. Now again, the word مستضعفين is mentioned. So the first guys said, we are مستضعفين. Angel said, no, that's not an excuse. Then it says, except for the مستضعفين. So what's the difference? It says, well, these are من الرجال والنساء والولدان لا يستطيعون حيلة. They don't like what's going on. They don't want to do it. They end up getting caught up in it. But they really don't have any other option. Or they can't think of any other option. لا يستطيعون حيلة ولا يهتدون سبيلا. They can't figure out any other thing to do. Okay. It doesn't even occur to them that maybe I can do this or the other. That person is excused, yes. The following verse is, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عَسَى اللَّهُ أَنْ يَعْفُوَ عَنْهُمْ God, inshallah, God will forgive them. It's still not good, but because it didn't occur to them that they have an option, they're, inshallah, God's going to forgive them. See? When you live in a society that is under a particular leadership and you're following that, even if it's unwillingly, even if it's not that I like to do this, but I am doing it nevertheless because I feel I have to, if you have an option, no. You have aligned your allegiances with the wrong people. Want to clarify this point? Action. Ashhadu anna aliyyan waliyullah. You can say that 50 billion times. In action, I'm saying, well, I don't have any other choice. I have to go with what Yazid says, with what Muawiyah says. I go with that. In today's time, the Yazid of the time, I say I'm with the Hussein of the time. But in action, the Yazid of the time is saying, do this, and I feel like, okay. You know, I want to live here under the tyranny of the Yazid of the time, and I'm going to go ahead with whatever he has. I don't separate myself from that. I don't say no, which I'll read another verse on that. Recite salawat, please.
Can we move forward, please? people in the back lot.
Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
So what do we do? If we're living under or in a society that is led by the Yazid of the time, that's our circumstance, right? You guys aren't living under the authority of the Hussein of the time. I don't think. So what do we do? There's another verse, Surah Al-A'raf. Verse 163, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَاسْأَلُهُمْ عَنِ الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي كَانَتْ حَاضِرَةَ الْبَحْرِ إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ Ask them about the village that was by the sea. إِذْ يَعْدُونَ فِي السَّبْتِ Sabbath, the Jews. They had particular restrictions. God had told them they were banned from doing certain things. Specifically, it was said that they're not allowed to fish on Sabbath. They couldn't go fishing. And according to some of the other verses, God really tested them. Because on Sabbath, they would go by the sea and they would see there's loads of fish. On the other days, there was no fish. Okay. They weren't allowed to fish on Saturday. God would send the fish over that way. Okay. Are you going to fish or are you not? Okay. Being tested. Well, some of them were like, oh, we can't do this. They played a trick. They caught them. You've heard the story. I'm sure all of you know better than myself. So they went against the rule. They acted as though they were implementing it by not actually physically fishing, but they had the pools by the side of the, according to the account, the way it's mentioned in books. And they would open the gates on Saturday, would come into the pool, and they would close up. We didn't fish, we didn't take out of the water. Okay. God says this is mocking divine law. So people were doing this. Right? They were breaking the law in this way. Trying to be smart. Sometimes we really try to be smart. Okay? We get the rule and we try to twist it around and we try to... No, just act upon it. You get the rule, understand it, just do it. Okay? Don't try to... So this wrong thing, socially wrong thing is happening in a city. The qariya that is Hadirat al-Bahr. There are three groups of people here. One group of people out of the three are the ones who are committing this sin. Alright? They're committing this sin. You have two others. The two others are not committing the sin and they're not okay with it, but they're two groups based on what the verse explains. إِذْ تَأْتِيهِمْ حِيْتَانُهُمْ يَوْمَ سَبْتِهِمْ شُرَّعًا وَيَوْمَ لَا يَسْبِتُونَ لَا تَأْتِيهِمْ Explaining that which I already explained. On Saturdays the fish would come their way and other days they weren't there. كَذَلِكَ نَبْلُوهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ This is how we tested them. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ The other two groups. وَإِذْ قَالَتْ أُمَّةٌ مِّنْهُمْ لِمَ تَعِذُونَ قَوْمًا إِلَّهُ مُهْلِكُهُمْ أَوْ مُعَذِّبُهُمْ عَذَابًا شَدِيدًا One group were the group of people that stood up and said, hey people, this is wrong. They stood up and said, this is wrong. This is one group. So that's two. Third group, instead of telling the first group, the sinners, why are you doing this? They came to the ones who stood up. Sometimes this happens. There are certain individuals that when Quds Day comes and the believers want to go out and chant against the Zionist regime, instead of coming and joining them and saying, look, this is wrong, they come and tell the people who are out there, why are you doing this? And these are the three groups here. The ones that are committing the sin, the ones that are standing up and saying, this is wrong. Third group, لما تعذون قوم الله مهلكهم أو معذبهم عذابا شديدا. Why are you even talking to these people? It sounds justified. These guys are going to come to your sin. Why are you wasting your breath? How is this effective? The response of the group who stands up and says this is wrong and tells them you got to stop this. قَالُوا مَعْذِرَةً إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. We at least will have an excuse with God. We told them. We said something about it. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Maybe they're going to change their behavior. The next verse says, فَلَمَّا نَسُوا مَا ذُكِّرُوا بِهِ أَنْجَيْنَا الَّذِينَ يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ وَأَخَذْنَا الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا بِعَذَابٍ بَئِيسٍ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْسُقُونَ. When it talks about whether the people were punished or they weren't punished, instead of making three groups, it makes two groups. It says there were those that يَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ السُّوءِ, the ones who said it's wrong, you should stop this, they were saved. Everybody else is categorized in the second group. الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, they committed a sin. When there's a social movement, it's aligned in the wrong direction with the wrong leadership, and it's causing people to do wrong things. If you're living amongst those people, how do you distinguish yourself, separate yourself, so to say that I'm not part of that, I don't want to be part of that? The very least is announce that. I have nothing to do with this. This is wrong. You should stop this. If my tax money is going to shoot innocent people, to bomb innocent people, if I'm just sitting down and not doing anything about it, I am part of this system. And I can't say on the day of judgment, well, we were forced. I will say, أَلَمْ تَكُنْ أَرْضُ اللَّهِ وَاسِعًا. I was saying أشهد أن علي ولي الله 5 times a day. Doesn't matter. In practice, you were following that leadership. You actually have double the sin. Because you did that and then you claim you're following Ali ibn Abi Talib. It's a lie, it's hypocrisy. So the bare minimum, if we are trying to align ourselves with the Hussein of the time, which we have to identify that, inshallah, maybe tomorrow we'll talk about that a bit more. At the very least, we have to say we disagree with the actions of the Yazid of the time. We're against it and we speak out and we say, this is wrong. That's the very least. That's the bare minimum that will cause you to have wilaya and start aligning yourself in the line or in line with the wilayah of Allah and the wali of Allah. That's the bare minimum. That's the bare minimum. You'll at least not be considered with the wrong guys. What is it? Is that enough? Do we really want to be like that? Do we really want to simply not be with Yazid and barely make it to the camp of Hussein? Do we want to barely make it to the following of Amir al-Mu'mineen? Do we want to barely make it to the Lady Fatima al-Zahra, salam Allah alayha? I don't think we want to do that. I don't know about you guys, but I don't think that's the right thing to do. How would you feel? Wouldn't you feel jealous? Once especially we see what's actually going on, what that really means, being with the Holy Prophet, being with Ali ibn Abi Talib, ruhi fidah. Have you been to his shrine? Have you been to Karbala? Have you been to Kaldanain? Have you been to Samarra? Have you been to Baqi'? You see the soil, it's, there's no gold, there's no silver, there's nothing. You've been there, you feel that presence, and you're not even seeing the person. Day of Judgment, you want to just be way back there, barely seeing the Holy Prophet. I don't know about you, but it really feels terrible. When you see people like Salman being around Amir al-Mu'mineen, the way he attends to him. I don't know if you've been around ulama or not, but they have a few people that you're really close to. Every now and then you see they turn around, they say a little something, a little inside joke or something, and you're smiling, and you feel, you wish you would hear that. Okay. You're that close to them. You want to be like the ones that Amir al-Mu'mineen would whisper things in your ears, or you'd be someone's way back there, barely making it to his camp. I think we want to be more than that. Now let's try our best. How do we excel beyond that? What's the direction to take? That bond of wilaya with the Imam of our time. If we reject Tawhut and we say we're not with that, this is wrong, we've just made it to the camp of the Imam of our time, inshallah. Okay. But you want to be closer? How do we do this? Another verse of the Holy Quran. Recite a salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let me first explain something about the meaning of the word wilaya itself, and then I'll read you the verse because it's needed, it's required so we can see the connection between this verse and wilaya. Wilaya, because of the time, I'm not going to spend too much time on the meaning of the word wilaya, but I'll just use this. Have you heard the explanation that our Sunni brothers and sisters have with regards to the hadith of Ghadir? مَنْ كُنْتُمْ مَوْلَاهُ فَهَذَا عَلِيٌّ مَوْلَاهُ اللَّهُمَّ وَالِ مَنْ وَالَاهُ وَعَادِ مَنْ عَادَاهُ وَانْصُرْ مَنْ نَصَرَهُ وَخُلْ مَنْ خَذَلَهُ. What does Mawla mean? They say, we agree, the Holy Prophet says, mutawatir, there's nobody that disagrees. This is said. The Holy Prophet has definitely said that. But what does wilaya mean? Friendship, right? Have you heard that?
Yeah.
They say friendship. Are they wrong? No. They're not completely wrong. One of the meanings of the word wilaya is friendship. But not just any old friendship. It's not any old friendship. It's a very tight and close friendship. Very, very tight, close friends. When you have that type of close friendship with someone, then you're not going to go against their will. You're not going to disobey them. And that's how the meaning of wilaya in the sense of authority and guardianship is connected with the meaning of wilaya, the, in a sense, the core of its meaning, which is a very tight and very close relationship. When we have, there's a book Allama Talatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, and you can find the translation of it. I think you should be able to find it online, and there are physical copies of it as well, which I don't know if you have here in Los Angeles or not. The Arabic title of the book is Risalatul Wilaya. I don't know if you guys have seen that or not. Risalatul Wilaya. Risalatul Wilaya, you're probably thinking to yourself, a Shia alim scholar writing a book on wilaya, he probably means wilayatu Ali ibn Abi Talib. But it's not the case. He means wilayatullah. In the Holy Quran, we have wilaya used in this context. Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. You have awliya of Allah. He says that the highest level of spiritual proximity of the divine, which is the highest rank of spirituality, is wilayatullah. We have a very close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is accompanied by or with love, very, very, very strong love. Okay? So the concept of friendship, wilaya of the Ahlul Bayt, wilaya of Allah, they're all very much connected. And now with that understanding, let's read this verse in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 54. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. If you, at the time of the Holy Prophet, if you decide to go back, turn away from the Holy Prophet. يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ. You turn away. You've come along this far with the Holy Prophet, you've supported him, you've listened to him, but now you turn back, you turn away. مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. Wilaya between Allah and these believers. God will bring a people, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهِ. He will bring a people later on, بِقَوْمٍ, that يُحِبُّهُمْ, He loves them, وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, they love Him. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. You want to see what that bond of wilayah between you and the Imam of our time is? How do we get closer and closer? How do we have a stronger relationship with the Imam of wilayah? It explains here. أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. With the believers, they're very kind. They put themselves down to be humble towards them. But when it comes to the kafirin, أَعِزَّةٍ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. They're very harsh against the other camp. This is one of the very important defining factors. You have someone that's way at the end. How is their relationship with the kufr, with the wrong, with the Yazid of our time, with the Yazid of any time? Well, they're barely there and they keep looking back and they're attracted by some of the things they see on the other side. They're a bit softer towards kufr, towards Yazid. So it's no, a'izzatin ala al-kafirin. When it comes to the kafirin, the party of the enemy, they're very harsh. When it comes to the believers, they're very soft. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They strive and they fight in the way of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They do not regret because of any type of condemnation. Anybody condemns them. Why did you do this? When you start doing the right thing, you start following what the Imam of our time wants, there are going to be people that are going to go against that. There are going to be people that are going to condemn you and tell you, why are you doing this? Why are you doing the other? And when there's a lot of people telling you that, you start feeling that, well, maybe there's something wrong I did. But there's no. لا يخافون لومة لائم. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. That is the fadl and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives to whoever He wishes. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And it continues to say a verse that we're all familiar with, verse 55 of Surah Al-Ma'idah, إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Okay, that very strong love, two-way love, with the description that we gave. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةُ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةُ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. I don't think I need to explain this verse too much. It's the verse, one of the verses of the Holy Quran that talks about the wilayah of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Okay. Your wali in this movement is supposed to be Allah, the Prophet, and this believer, Amir al-Mu'mineen. Okay, so we get that as well. Now the final touch on that. Verse 56, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Say salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala
وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ يَتَوَلَّ تَوَلِّي. What is tawalli? When you open up the concept of tawalli, it means obedience. 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 If you want to be closer to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to the Holy Prophet, you have to be more obedient. What do they want when you do that? Okay. What do they want you to do? You do that, you follow that. That's something we all understand, right? It's pretty obvious. We have another verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ali Imran, that if you want God to love you, فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Follow me, the Holy Prophet. Follow me, God will love you. It's pretty clear. So why am I stressing this idea so much? If it's obedience, it's practically following their teachings, then why are we... Am I just trying to simply stress the idea that, look, the Imam of our time is telling you, is telling us to pray. He's telling you to go to Hajj. He's telling you to perform your fast. He's telling you not to commit this sin or the other sin. So listen to that and you get closer to the Imam of your time. Okay. Yeah, that is there, but that's not the focus of my talk. That's just a reminder. That's the easy part. That's the easy part. The easy part is, look, it's clear. It's in the Quran. Look, how many times do we have to say this? Pray. How many times do we have to say, don't look at images that are sinful. Don't go to this gathering. Don't go to that gathering. Don't eat this. Don't drink that. Don't behave in this way. Don't disrespect this person. This is the easy part. This is the easy part. This is يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ, the clear instructions found in the Quran and Hadith. You go to your marja, and he explains to you, this is wajib, this is haram. Follow that, easy, simple, done. That's not enough though. That's not enough. We're talking about the social, political realm of our lives as well. That dimension as well. Okay. If somebody, when it comes to prayer, fasting, Hajj, these things, they listen to God. But when it comes to whether we vote or we don't vote at all, on a national scale, do we do that? Do we not do that? Do we support this party? Do we not support this party? Do we join a party? Do we not join a party? When it comes to these matters, we don't follow. No, this is a different thing. We're going to be an instance of the ones that want to divide religion. Okay. And God says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. People who want to divide up and say, we believe and we accept this part of religion, but we don't accept this part of religion. This is up to us. When it comes to politics, you don't follow God. You don't follow the Imam of your time. You don't follow instructions from them. You do as you wish. And we want to go with the Tawhut. We want to get close to Washington. That is going to be someone who follows the shaitan. Didn't people who follow Yazid pray? Didn't they say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah? You say that, you're following Yazid in other things. You're his party. You're going to go, God forbid, they will go to hell following Yazid alayhi al-la'na. If anybody in the political affairs says, no, I'm aligned with this leadership, well, sorry. God says you do some of your actions for that and some of the your actions for me. I'm a good partner. I'll give everything to that guy. Go get what you want from him. Okay. You're trying to please this guy? All right. I'm a good partner. I'll give my share to him. Go ask him. In all dimensions of our life, in the social political realm as well, we have to have that wilayah. The difficulty is here. This is what I want to stress. After discussing all of that, this is what I want to stress on. Okay, what is it that I'm going to do to be considered of those who are following the Imam of my time in the social political realm? How do I figure out what he wants me to do, and I do it? Salat is already there, that's easy. How do I understand, like Imam Khomeini, that this is the time that we're going to stand up? It's no longer the time to be silent. We're going to stand and we're going to create a movement and we're going to create a government. An Islamic government. How do I recognize that responsibility? How do I know the Imam of my time wants this? And I obey that and I do it. See that bond of wilayah? We have hadith from the Holy Prophet. We have hadith that says there are those who are going to be following the Imam of our time before his coming. If he is the Imam of our time, we need to have that wilayah towards him. Is our allegiance in that direction or not? Saying it, saying Ashhadu anna aliyyan wa jalla is not sufficient. We have to do it in practice. The question is, in these various affairs that we don't have clear verses or ahadith, and it can get very confusing, the best of the believers are going to be the ones that will identify what they need to do, and they get good at it, and they actually do it. A lot of us get confused. And we're following the wrong leadership because we get confused. Instead of following Ali, we get confused. There are a lot of people that got confused. In the Battle of Siffin, Amir al-Mu'mineen says, fight! Some people really got confused, like, oh, we're fighting Muslims. And they didn't continue fighting. Today, some people are getting confused. The Ali of the time is saying, you need to fight. Somebody else says something else. And then people get confused. They end up not fighting. Want to get really close to Ali? be one of those that in the battle of Siffin, when things really get confusing, they recognize they need to be doing what at the right time. They remain with Ali. They say the right words. Amir al-Mu'mineen at times would say, Aina Ammar? Where is Ammar? To recognize what he needs to do, and he does it. We hope that, inshallah, we're able to do that. Gather that wilayah and follow the Imam of our time in his absence, inshallah. Assalamu alaykum, ya ahla bayt al-nubuwwah. السلام عليكم يا أهل بيت النبوة وموضع ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي ومعادنا الرحمن May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Holy Prophet, Ahlul Bayt. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. It was in your homes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with guidance and revelation. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you. Angels descend upon you day in and day out, seeking permission before entering upon you. Sallallahu alayhi. صلى الله عليك يا فاطمة صلى الله عليك أيتها المظلومة صلى الله عليك أيتها الشهيدة المغصوبة حقها المكسورة ذلغها May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved lady Fatima al-Zahra, my beloved, O President, sallallahu alayhi. Take your hearts to the home of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, ruqi laka al-fida. Brothers and sisters, there was a time when Ali would come home after a difficult day, after a battle, after the difficulties of dealing with people outside. He would come home. The daughter of the Holy Prophet would be awaiting him. She would smile, one smile of Zahra would relieve Amir al-Mu'mineen from all his pain. After the incident at the dome, every time Ali comes home, the lady Fatima Tuzara covers her face. Zahra, why are you covering your face from me? Amir al-Mu'mineen will come home these last couple of weeks. Zahra is not feeling well. She's lying in her bed. But this last day, they say the lady Fatima to Zahra woke up in the morning, she got up, she started cleaning the house. She cleaned and gave showers to the children, as it is said. She combed the hair of Lady Zainab, salamullahi alayha. After she did all of that, she sent the children out to play. She told Fidda, I will be laying down. They thought maybe she's getting better. But no, something was telling her this is the last day. She sent the children off. She said to Fidda, I will lie in bed and I will cover my face. Every now and then, call my name if I respond to you. I'm still here. If I don't, call Ali. Sallallahu alayhi. They say Imam Hassan and Imam al-Hussein came home. They wanted to see their mother. So they kept telling them, please go the other direction. Your food is ready. And they said, no, we want to see our mother. She wasn't able to control them. They went towards their mother. Imagine Imam al-Mujtaba sitting at the body of the Lady Zahra. Ya Ummah, some say Hussein went to the bottom of her feet. He started rubbing his face on the Lady Fatima Zahra's feet. Oh mother, this is Hussein. They were sent to call their father. Amir al-Mu'mineen was in the masjid. Amir al-Mu'mineen sees Hassan and Hussein running. He can tell something's wrong. Say, if you want to see your mother alive, come quick. Ali rushes home. He sees the Lady Zahra in bed. He sits beside her. As-salamu alayk ya bid'at al-rasul. He doesn't hear a response. As-salamu alayk ya bint rasulillah. He doesn't hear a response. He says, as-salamu alayk ana wali. This is Ali. Don't be like the people of Medina who don't respond to Ali's salam. Sallallahu alayk. It seems this is the moment she responds to Ali. She says a couple of things to the Imam that burn him from within. She says, I heard my father say, the worst state a woman can leave this world is that her husband is not pleased with her. Imagine Amir al-Mu'mineen hearing this from the Lady Zahra. She says to him, Ya Ali, if I've done anything to upset you, please forgive me. لا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الزهراء وأبيها وبعالها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك.